From the St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom, this is The Gateway. Today is Thursday, July 24th. I'm Ola Kuziz. Missouri's Medicaid program is about to go through a major change with the advent of federally imposed work requirements.
Work requirements is a way to ensure that the population on the program is sustainable for the long term.
Coming up on The Gateway, St. Louis Public Radio's Jason Rosenbaum talks with Missouri Medicaid Director Todd Richardson about how the One Big Beautiful Bill will impact the healthcare program. Missouri Attorney General Andrew Bailey has sued Planned Parenthood's Federation of America over safety claims the organization has made about one of the pills used for abortions. St. Louis Public Radio's Sarah Fentum reports the suit seeks monetary damages and penalties, as well as a court order to remove the claims from Planned Parenthood's materials.
The suit, filed in circuit court in Jefferson City, refers to the organization's claims mifepristone's as safe as other medicines, such as Viagra or Tylenol. Bailey alleges the organization's misrepresenting the drug's safety. Federal drug officials say up to 4.6% of people visited the emergency room after taking mifepristone. Bailey says that means it's not as safe as over-the-counter Tylenol. Planned Parenthood officials say this suit is Bailey's latest attempt to block Missourians' constitutionally protected right to abortion access and prevent them from making their own medical decisions. Vice President of Abortion Access Danica Severino Wynn says mifepristone is a safe FDA-approved medication that's been used by millions of people. I'm Sarah Fentum, St. Louis Public Radio.
The U.S. Department of Energy is canceling an almost $5 billion loan for a project that would have brought wind energy to Missouri. The Grain Belt Express is an almost 800-mile planned transmission line from Kansas to the Illinois-Indiana border. The Biden administration had awarded the money the Department of Energy just rescinded. Missouri Republican Senator Josh Hawley had sent multiple letters to the Energy Department urging them to cancel this funding and said he spoke to President Trump about it. Hawley is largely opposed to the project's use of eminent domain to acquire Missouri land. This month, Missouri Attorney General Andrew Bailey also announced he was launching an investigation into the project. The Missouri Attorney General wants the St. Louis Sheriff out of office, but Alfred Montgomery and his legal team aren't going down without a fight. St. Louis Public Radio's Olivia Mizell reports.
Montgomery's legal team filed a 158-page response to Andrew Bailey's petition to remove the sheriff from office Monday night. It asks the court to deny the petition. His attorneys deny the majority of Bailey's accusations of nepotism, misuse of funds, and other problems. However, they do admit that a sergeant picked up Montgomery's children from school in a marked department vehicle. They say this practice has since stopped. They also say the officer was off duty at the time. The next hearing in the case is set for August 29th at 11 a.m. with Judge Stephen R. Omer presiding. I'm Olivia Mizell, St. Louis Public Radio.
St. Louis has its first transportation plan in place in decades, and regional advocates say it can help with efforts to reduce fatal injuries among pedestrians. Sean Lade is the vice president at CBB Transportation Engineers and Planners. He says the city's plan will complement other regional efforts toward roadway safety.
We're putting a framework in place to be able to address these issues that have been in this region for a long time. And we're hopeful that it would be something if we could reduce fatal injuries in this region by 2050 over the next 25 years.
Late says the Regional Safety Action Plan identified some of the most dangerous roads in the region and helped municipalities pursue money for infrastructure improvements. He was a guest on St. Louis on the Air. MasterCard is building a new solar facility next to its data center in O'Fallon. St. Louis Public Radio's Kate Grumke reports the company is making this move to meet its climate goals.
MasterCard's O'Fallon data center is its largest in the U.S. It uses more than a third of the company's annual energy consumption. So to reduce its greenhouse gas emissions, it needed to build more renewable energy for the site. Renew Missouri Executive Director James Owen says this move by MasterCard shows St. Louis's current grid isn't giving big companies what they want.
We have a lot of coal plants in the state. They are old, they're outdated, they're outmoded, they're dirty, and we have not kept up with what customers are demanding, what large-scale customers are demanding.
MasterCard's new solar facility will be providing energy to the company before 2027. I'm Kate Grumke, St. Louis Public Radio.
Illinois business groups are urging the governor to veto a bill they say would hurt the state's economic development. Mawa Iqbal reports.
The measure would allow anyone harmed by toxic substances at a workplace anywhere in the U.S. to sue the company, provided that the company is registered to do business in Illinois. Mark Densler heads the Illinois Manufacturers Association. He says if the bill is signed into law, it will create a black eye for Illinois.
We're going to be using Illinois taxpayer dollars to run courts to essentially prosecute out-of-state cases in Illinois, and the only beneficiaries are wealthy trial lawyers.
Densler says the IMA is meeting with the governor's office this summer. Trial lawyers, on the other hand, argued the issue is a matter of fairness. I'm Mawa Iqbal.
I'm Jonathan All, newscast editor at St. Louis Public Radio. Federal funding for St. Louis Public Radio has been canceled. We're defunded, but we are not defeated. We need to make up $575,000 a year to support the reporting you've come to rely on and keep the Gateway thriving. This daily podcast is made possible by the work of everyone in the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, anchors, reporters, editors, and producers, and they can't do their jobs without you. Consider a donation of $10, $20, or even $100 a month. It will help us navigate a challenging time for public media and provide you with the peace of mind that you are doing what you can to keep independent journalism strong in the St. Louis, Rolla, and Quincy areas. Give now at stlpr.org, and thanks.
Missouri's Medicaid program is about to go through a major transformation with the advent of federally imposed work requirements. And while critics of this idea believe they're aimed at kicking eligible people off of the healthcare program, Missouri's Medicaid director contends they could be implemented in an unobtrusive way. St. Louis Public Radio's Jason Rosenbaum reports.
Todd Richardson is hardly a stranger to high-stakes challenges. He became Speaker of the Missouri House abruptly in 2015 after his predecessor resigned amid a scandal. He also waded through the near impeachment of then-Governor Eric Greitens during his last year in elective office. And as Missouri's Medicaid director, Richardson dealt with a once-in-a-generation pandemic and the expansion of the healthcare program to include the working poor.
Our team members like trying to solve those problems. We don't run away from them. We like to try to solve them and make them better.
As he enters his seventh year running Missouri's Medicaid program, Richardson is confronting yet another challenge, implementing work requirements in the recently enacted One Big Beautiful Bill. The details still need to be worked out, but they would require Medicaid enrollees to either work, be in school, or volunteer to qualify for the program. Richardson says his agency is planning to lean on existing technology that allows Medicaid applicants to upload documents electronically. And he says a fundamental goal is to make the process as easy as possible for enrollees.
So I think what will be important is for the state to make sure that we're making good use of those tools, make sure, number one, we're getting the verifications done correctly and accurately, but also to do so in the way that's the most efficient for both the state and for the participant.
Richardson even says that it could be possible for Medicaid enrollees to comply with work requirements without actually having to do anything.
If they're working and we can verify that they're working through income data, then that's a verification right there. Now, there are other exceptions to the work requirements that probably will require a participant to send some documentation or you know, to involve a human. But I think there's a lot of that income verification that can be done electronically.
Others, though, are less optimistic about the work requirements' impact on Medicaid enrollment. Heidi Lucas of the Missouri Rural Health Association used to work as a caseworker signing people up for temporary assistance for needy families. That program has a work requirement, and she says it was often impossible for people to comply with the guidelines.
What happens if they fall and break a leg or they have a heart attack? The hospital in their area still has to provide them care, but they are no longer having insurance because they didn't meet the work requirements or because there wasn't enough jobs to go around. So suddenly it's a snake eating its own tail.
But Richardson says the work requirements serve an important purpose, making sure Medicaid is available for people who really need it.
And, you know, work requirements is a way to ensure that the population on the program is sustainable for the long term.
States like Missouri have until the end of 2026 to implement work requirements for Medicaid. I'm Jason Mersenbaum, St. Louis Public Radio.
Tracy Tong edited that report. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, a listener-supported service of the University of Missouri, St. Louis. Music is by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur. I'm Arla Kuziz, and from the St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom, this has been The Gateway.